a revelation inside of you, and that you would have truth ministered to you by the Spirit of the Lord Himself, that you will have conviction to have a vision and the courage to walk in the vision that God gives you. You can entitle it Courage to Have a Vision and Walk in It. Now, most of us, we are people who are just so caught up in our own world. In our own world, our family, our home, our work, our struggles, our love for the Lord, our successes, our failures. I mean, in our own world, that's all. We can seldom take our eyes off ourselves to look at a bigger picture. The reason that some of you are sitting here, no matter what you're going through, I can tell you one thing. Most of you are sitting here with your own share of successes and failures, strengths and weaknesses, your victories and your stumblings, your imperfections and your perfection. Is there anybody who is just paka for perfect? No. With our perfections, with our imperfections, we have both the positives and the negatives. We have the gifts, we have the talents, we have maybe nothing. But tonight what I want to exhort you is the fact to take your eyes off yourself and to look at the bigger picture. That's what the Lord meant when He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I mean, in everything, seek first my kingdom, the growth of my kingdom, the enlargement of my kingdom, the functioning of my kingdom, the purpose of my kingdom, the glory of my kingdom. Seek ye first my kingdom and its righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Whether it be your victories, whether it be your provision, whether it be your blessing, whether it be your anointing, whether it be your giftings, whatever, everything else will be added unto you only when you seek first the kingdom. Now, when you seek yourself and your own little world to, I mean, see your own victory and your own blessing and your own, you know, future and all that, I can assure you, you will be a very small island. When the mainland is across and you feel all isolated and alone, the problem is not with somebody else. The problem is not with somebody else. The problem is with you, because all that you wanted in life was to be a small island to yourself, where you have everything, a cathedral in that island where you can go to, a food market where you can buy your stuff, your friends, the ones whom you pick and choose and place around you, your own world, where no problems, no tears, no sadness, only yourself. From morning to even, people are singing your praises and telling you how good you are. And later, and I praise the sooner, that you will recognize you can't be that small island. There is a mainland of God's kingdom, and you need to recognize it, see it, and come to it. Then you will find your own purpose. Then the gifting of God will begin to emerge upon your life. You hear that? That is why selfishness and self-centeredness is one of the biggest sins. You hear that? Come on, church. How many of you would like the Lord to teach you tonight something? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Now, see, in the Bible, when the Bible speaks about certain truths, you need to recognize it very clearly. My Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter and verse 18, where there is no vision, my people go astray. Where there is no vision. You hear that? Where there is no vision. In the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter, Jesus himself said about certain leaders, the blind leading the blind. And he was speaking about a religious system at that time that was only focused on itself and did not even recognize Jesus when he came on the scene in the flesh. They were praying for the Messiah. They were reading scriptures on the Messiah. But even when the Lord came, they were so blind they did not even recognize him. You hear that? And he looked at those leaders and he said, you are the blind leading the blind. Now you and me, we can come into a situation where we are caught up our own world, in our own little ministry, in our own little world, so caught up. And God will say that is blindness. He would say that is blindness because there's something bigger out there. You hear that? And we need to have that spiritual sight. Now it says in the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news and all that, and to restore the sight of the blind, or to open the eyes of the blind. So one of the reasons the anointing comes upon a person is to see that spiritual eyes are open, not only the physical eyes, but even the spiritual eyes are open, that the man recognizes or the woman recognizes the kingdom of God and its purposes. And suddenly they know there is something bigger than themselves. Have you felt in your life so overwhelmed by your own problems? Or so proud of your own successes? And as a leader, I want to catch the vision, because every time I am praying, I am seeing glasses. I asked the Lord, what is it, Lord? The Lord said, cast the vision, cast the vision. Let them see the whole picture. Now, it says there, a vision, please hear me well, is more important than even discipline. What's the use of discipline in your life if you don't have vision? This vision is more important than, I would say, the anointing. And I've seen some of the greatest anointed people. People. Holy people. Who never did anything for God and who never moved forward. And when they reached an old age, the anointing upon them began to thin out. Vision is more important than even your victory. You know why some of you get into the same problem again and again? Same struggle again and again? The reason, the main essence of the problem would be self-centeredness. You cry, you get up, again you fall. Why? Because that's all you see. Vision is more important than success, than prosperity. That is why I said the other day, you know, when I went through that stage, one of the things that I found in the United States of America, and not only that, in most of the lives, are people. And when you read the book of Amos, the 4th chapter, you will find from scripture too, whenever they've had success, their own mansions, their own buildings, their own vineyards, their own, you know, money and their own stuff, they have gone complacent. They've gone complacent and they have settled down. Some of you are praying, Lord, make me rich. What's the use of that riches? I believe in divine prosperity. I'm a man who preaches on that. I'm a man who wants to walk in that. And I'm a man who walks in that. But prosperity. prosperity without purpose will land you in a ditch. Why should you get rich and have more money in your account if that's going to be your security and not the Lord? So vision is more important than even success, than your victory, than discipline. I would even go to the extent of saying even more important than your own holiness. We believe in holiness. We need holiness. We need to be pure unto God. I believe in all that. Huh? What's happening?
Hallelujah. How many of you understand what I'm saying tonight? How many of you like a teaching on a Friday night than a preaching? Vision. You have a vision. Amen. See, and let me say this to you. A vision does not come to you every day. And one of the things that the enemy, the devil, is spoken of as the one who blinds people. Because in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, it says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those whose mind the god of this world, the devil, has blinded. So the devil's, one of the principal things that he does is to blind you. In other words, to make you blind, that you might not see, that you might not have a vision. And he wants to, he attacks your vision. Because why would you want to walk in victory, or why would you want to get up after you fall if there is no greater purpose? See, I've seen, you know, when we come, when I, any time I come in to any church, just not here, anywhere I go to preach, you can look at a congregation and, you know, look and see the usual set of struggles that people have. One will be the struggle with sin. Another would be the struggle in the area of finance. The third would be a need for physical healing. And the fourth, if you're going into a church that believes in the anointing and the giftings of God and a Pentecostal kind of fellowship, a fresher anointing. Fresher anointing. And the man of God, week after week, comes and preaches a message on breakthrough. And God gives them a breakthrough as long as they hold on to the word. And after a couple of weeks, again, they fall down. Again, they stumble. Again, they get into a mess. And then they become doubly discouraged and come and sit in a corner, not wanting to rise up again. And I would ask you, why do you want to rise up if you don't have a greater vision? A man by the name of Paul, a man who was totally in love with Jesus, who had all the gifts of the Spirit, moved in an apostolic office, a man who had, you know, tremendous struggles against his life. He was persecuted. Many a time they stoned him. They dragged him through the streets because he stood and preached Christ. They thought he was dead. They hit him. They tried to do everything, and this man would get up again and again. Why? The reason is found in Acts 26. When he stands before the King Agrippa, before he knows he's going to be put to death, he's saying to Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He didn't say, because I'm anointed, because I have a gifting, because I'm an apostle, because the church can't do without me, I'll need to get up. No. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Do you have a vision about your calling? Let me say this to you. The vision of your calling will not come every day. Do you have a vision of being a part of this ministry? It won't come every day. But it would have at least come once. That is the reason you are here. How many of you know that? It would have at least come once. And because the devil tries to steal away that vision, My Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2 to write it down. Write the vision. If you do not write it, you will forget it. Have you seen that? You go out of the church, go to your friends in the world. Go to your family members who haven't come to the Lord. And they smooth talk you out of your calling. Have you seen that? They smooth talk you. If they can't smooth talk you, then they'll try to frighten you out of your calling. Have you seen that? Have you seen that? They'll first try to smooth talk you out of it. If they can't, they'll frighten you out of it. The main thing what they're trying to do, and you better realize it, is that they don't want, without them realizing, the enemy is using them through words to cancel the vision that is there in your mind, to blind you once again. So what happens? With every struggle and temptation and trial, that will happen to every person along the line. You will begin to ask yourself this question: am I called? Does God want me? Where am I going? Nobody in the ministry likes me. Should I go there? Should I go not go there? The pastor is not there. Then I will not go. The pastor is there. Then I will not go. Whatever. What I'm trying to tell you is, see, the vision is forgotten. You hear that? But if you have the vision, life has got a share of problems. It's got its areas of struggles. No person getting saved one day is going to stand up and say, listen, I am anointed, I am gifted, now I am perfect. No struggle is going to come upon my life. No problems in my life, in my family. No, 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 that doesn't happen. Faith will not keep you from the problem, because men of faith in the Bible had problems in their lives. Please hear me well. Faith in the Lord or in His word will not keep you from problems, but will keep you in midst the problem. You hear that? What's happened to most of us is that after coming to the Lord, somewhere we have thought there would be no problem. That's what Adam and Eve lost, a perfect world, a perfect surrounding, when they sinned. Now we will have it restored in all its fullness only when Jesus comes and transports us back to heaven, to our home in the New Jerusalem. Faith, hear me well again, please. Faith won't keep you from the problem, but faith will keep you in the problem. You will hold on. And it will make a way for you out of that problem. Imagine the three boys who were willing to surrender and worship to the Lord. Why should they be thrown into the fire? Most of today's charismatics and Pentecostals would say, my God, he didn't have faith. These three guys didn't have faith. Look, they fell into the fire. They fell into the fire because of their faith. But they came out of it. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of the Lord. So don't get discouraged when a struggle comes against you. That's where vision helps you. That's where, as a pastor, I paint the picture, a vision to your life. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God will draw it in the canvas of your minds, and in your hearts, and in your spirits, so you would see the bigger picture. As have you seen people? You can never get them committed or do anything for the Lord. Because when they are feeling strong, they'll say, I'll serve the Lord. When they're feeling weak, they'll say, no, 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 no. That's because there's no vision. Your calling, being a part of the ministry that God has put you in, you need to write it down. Touching the nations, being an army of the Lord, you need to write it down. And then the Bible says, though it tarries, Habakkuk chapter 2, which meant the minute the vision is given, it won't come to pass. Come on. Church, are you still here? The minute the vision comes, it won't come to pass. Some of you saying, if I am called, why isn't God using me? I don't know. But if God has given you that vision, write it down. Though it tarry, though it takes some time, that's what it means. It will come to pass. See, it's true. The bell rang. Hallelujah. That is for, you know, if there are people from other churches, we welcome you. You will feel at home here. Hallelujah. To write it down. Though it tarry, though it takes some time, it will come to pass. Hear that? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory unto the name of Jesus. And let me tell you another thing. A vision is never earned. In other words, what some of you have thought about your calling is at one holy moment of your life, when the glory was really moving and you felt really consecrated and you felt the power of God, you said, Jesus, I give you my life. I will live only for you. After 3 weeks, suddenly everything is unholy around you. And you thought you had earned that vision because of your prayer and fasting and that holy moment of consecration. And so when you went into a struggle, you said, now God has taken that away. No. A vision is never earned. You hear that? It's never earned. It's a free gift, just like salvation. Hallelujah. Church, do you like this teaching? It's a free gift. And let me say this one more time. A vision, though it tarry, it will come to pass. So you need to write it down, look at it, read it out, sometimes speak it out. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, the 4th chapter, and the 4th verse, it says there, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord. Amen. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. That is present continuous. That proceedeth from the mouth of God. In other words, don't imagine that God spoke 2,000 years ago, and for now, 2,000 years ago after his ascension into heaven, he's sitting silent. He still speaks. Don't think that he's spoken into the Bible and now he won't say anything more. He still speaks. But let me make it very clear. Whatever he speaks now will by no means contradict what he spoke before. You got it? What he speaks now will by no means contradict what he spoke before. That is why we have the word of God. So if somebody comes and says, listen, I feel an anointing upon me and God wants me to marry that person's wife, and I think I received a prophetic word from God, You know it isn't true. Why? Because the Bible says no. Hallelujah. No matter how strong that prophetic voice is, and how strong that anointing is upon you, it's a lie. You hear that? If somebody says there are other mediators, because the church teaches it, the church had a greater revelation later on. The Bible is very true when it says there is only one mediator between God and man. And that is Lord Jesus. So what he speaks now won't be what he has, won't contradict what he's spoken before. Hear me well, please. We're just getting at this teaching and I know where I'm going, okay? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't think the pastor is lost. He's just trying to find his way through the message. Glory unto the name of the Lord. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Amen. See, it is because he still speaks now, we can have direction concerning our future. Where we should plant our church. Where we should build our home. That's why we pray. Because we know that when we speak to him, now the Bible doesn't say on where you need to plant your house or build your house. What kind of business you need to get into, the Bible doesn't say. Well, that's where the Spirit of the Lord will still speak, the Rhema word. And tell you, this is what you do, son. This is where your future goes. This is what you need to do. This is how you long you need to keep yourself for the calling to be manifested. You hear that? But by every word that proceeds, it is incredible. God did everything through his word. And listen to this, the word of the Lord, we know that heals us. Word of the Lord, what heals you? The word of God. Matthew, the 8th chapter, 16 and 17 says that the Lord healed them by his word. 1 John 2 and verse 14 says, young men, you overcome the enemy by the word. Because the word of the Lord dwells in you. Amen. You overcome the enemy how? By the word. The word of the Lord has to dwell in you. The Lord resurrects you through his word, which we learned last Sunday. He puts you back together through his word. He gives you faith through his word. Faith comes by the word. Amen. He anoints you even through the word. While the word is being preached, the anointing and the glory of God will begin to fall upon you. Amen. Hallelujah. But listen to this now. The word of God is mentioned in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23-24 that you have been born again, not by your religious works, not by your prayer, not by the things that you have done. You have been born again through the incorruptible seed. So everybody say seed. Of God's word. So the word of God is mentioned there as a seed. Hear me well, please. The word is mentioned as a seed. In other words, whatever God gives you, he gives it to you in the form of a seed. You didn't get it, did you? Everything that he gives it to you as a seed. And how you value that seed will determine your harvest. So a vision, whether it be a calling, whether it be a dream to do something for God, whether it be to do great exploits for God and to move in the anointing and the gifting of God and go through the nations, everything will come forth as a seed. And what has happened to the church is that the church thought everything should be so, everything should be so huge and the picture should be so big. Then I will take it. Then you don't need faith. God says, how well is this person going to take my seed? You hear that? What is a seed? And you might not value it, but learn to value it. Because the enemy is after the seed. You didn't get it, did you? Come on. I told you we are coming into something. Just hang in with me. That is why Jesus spoke about the parable of the sower going out to sow the seed. You hear that? He went out, the Lord went out and sowed the seed. And Matthew 13 uses the word, the seed was the word of God. The seed. And some fell on the roads. And the birds came, plucked it, and went away. And the Lord, describing that bird, said, that is the devil. He comes immediately to take the seed. The enemy knows if that seed should rest upon you, then you would have clarity, you would have vision, you would have something to hold on to, and the enemy cannot destroy you. So first he has to get the seed out of you. That's why of all the attacks in the world, the greatest attack has been against the word of God. പ്രാർത്ഥനക്കാരാന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാൽ ആർക്കും ഒരു കുഴപ്പമില്ല. നീ ഒന്ന് വചനം പറഞ്ഞു നോക്കിക്കേ. പാട്ടുപെടാൻ വരുമ്പോൾ വലിയ കുഴപ്പമൊന്നും വരികയില്ല, പാടണം. എന്നാൽ പാട്ട് പാടുമ്പോൾ അതിന്റെ മീനിംഗ്ലെസ് ആക്കുന്ന എങ്ങനെയാണെന്നറിയാവോ? പിശാച പാട്ടിന്റെ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻസ് വേർഡിൽ കൂടെ മനസ്സിലാക്കി തന്നത് അങ്ങ് അറിയിപ്പിച്ചോളേ. അപ്പൊ രണ്ടാഴ്ച കഴിയുമ്പോൾ നമ്മൾ ഓർക്കും, പാടിട്ട് എന്താ കാര്യം? എല്ലാ ആഴ്ചയും വന്ന് പാട്ട് പാടുന്നുണ്ടല്ലോ എന്നറിയാവോ? ദ സീഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഹാഡ് കണക്റ്റഡ് യു ടു ദ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻസ് ഓഫ് ദ വർഷിപ്പ്, ദ എനിമി ഹാസ് സ്റ്റോളൻ അവേ. What you've been taught on worship. Or in the enemy, entire messages thanne chilavarude hrudayathinu eduthu kalayum. Whether it be on the gift of tongues. And vajanathinulla endukonda anyabhasha prarthikkunnu ennallathu pishash eduthu kalanja pinne nammal anyabhasha prarthikkum avarku chummi ochcha undakkitte endha karyam? Paduthu rendu veru vannittu choykkum, seriya ningali ochchaykku undakkitte endha karyam? നമുക്കറിയാം വചനത്തിൽ കൂടെ, ഹി ഹു പ്രേസ് ഇൻ ദ സ്പിരിറ്റ് സ്പീക്സ് മിസ്റ്ററീസ് അൺ ടു ഗാഡ് ആൻഡ് ഹി എഡിഫൈസ് ഹിംസെൽഫ്. ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ് എഡിഫൈ ആക്ച്വലി മീൻസ് ടു ബിൽഡ് ഓൺ ദ ഇൻസൈഡ് എ മാൻഷൻ. ഹി ഹു സ്പീക്സ് ഇൻ ടങ്സ് is building up inside of him a mansion. Rakam durahattalandara kataka jala sandachara. There is a building that's been constructed inside of you. And the seed eduthu kalayan nokku. Pinne namukku janavarikkum anne vaacha vaachittu pratheja kaari onnillallo, onnu manasilavunnillallo, buddhi vare onnu manasilavunnillallo. But the Bible very clear says he who speaks in tongues is speaking unto God and he cannot understand it. ബുദ്ധിക്ക് മനസ്സിലായില്ല, ബുദ്ധിനെ വചനം പ്രകടിപ്പിച്ചു കൊടുക്കണം. ദിസ് ഇസ് ദ സീഡ്. ദിസ് ഇസ് ദ റീസൺ ഐ എം പ്രേയിങ് ഇൻ ടങ്സ്. The enemy is after the seed. അവൻ ഒന്നെങ്കിൽ ഇമ്മീഡിയറ്റ് ആയിട്ട് ആ സീഡ് എടുത്ത് കളയാൻ നോക്കും. ബിക്കോസ് ആ സീഡ് അകത്തുണ്ടെങ്കിൽ ദാറ്റ് വിൽ റൂട്ട് യുവർ ലൈഫ്. ആർ യു വിത്ത് മീ? ആ സീഡ് ഓൾവേസ് റിമെമ്പർ, എ സീഡ് ഡസ് നോട്ട് സ്റ്റേ ബൈ ഇറ്റ്സെൽഫ്. അകത്ത് സീഡ് ഉണ്ടെങ്കിൽ ചുമ്മാ ഒരു മഴ നാളെ വീണാൽ മതി അങ്ങ് ഫ്രൂട്ട്ഫുൾനെസ് വരും. സീഡില്ലാതെ ലാറ്ററേയും വേണമെങ്കിലും ഫോമറേയും വേണമെങ്കിലും ഒന്നും അനുഭവിക്കുക. The word is a seed. Everything that God speaks is a seed. 13 years back he spoke to me and said, son, I have called you. And for 3 years I said, Lord, if you have called me, why am I not being used by you? I thought you would use me like a Benny Hinn or like a Bonke. God said, son, hold on to the seed. മൂന്ന് വലഞ്ഞിന്ന് ആദ്യം ഒരു രണ്ടുപേരത്തൊക്കെ പറയാനൊക്കെ തുടങ്ങിയപ്പോഴത്തേന് ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ആത്മാവ് പറഞ്ഞു, son, I will give you a plane. കർത്താവ്, സൈക്കിൾ പോലും ഇല്ലല്ലോ. But seed ആണ്. I still hold on to it. It is not long before you will see me, hallelujah, and the team going on for crusades on a plane. കർത്താവ് ഏകദേശം ഉപയോഗിക്കാൻ തുടങ്ങിയപ്പോൾ ലോർഡ് സെഡ്, മിനിസ്റ്ററി പഠിച്ച് എന്താണെന്നൊക്കെ അറിഞ്ഞു വരുമ്പോൾ കർത്താവ് പറഞ്ഞു, സൺ, നേഷൻസ് വിൽ ഓപ്പൺ ബിഫോർ യു. സീഡ നേഷൻ ഒന്നും തുറന്നിട്ടില്ലല്ലോ. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ithona, when I went, I said, Lord, you had spoken it so many years back. Now the nation has opened. Now I want to see the team come here. And I was preaching in a place. They called me and said, we want to see your team come here. I didn't tell it to them. I didn't even hint it to them. When I was coming back from America, that when I went that side, we stopped over in Heathrow Airport, and in England. And when we stopped there, you know, you don't get off the, I mean, you get off the plane, but you don't get onto the land. You just go through that, whatever you call that, you know, concourse, and get into the next plane, and then you fly off. So I said, Lord, your word declares everywhere we set our foot upon, the ground that we set our foot upon, I couldn't set my foot upon this land. So coming back, I said, Lord, I want to set my foot upon the land. So of all the planes, our plane landed right in the middle of the tarmac, and we had to get off the plane and walk through the ground. And I knew God was doing that just for me. I said, wherever we set our feet upon, you will give it unto us. I began to prophesy over that land and got on the plane and came to India. When I came over here, a week later, somebody calls me up from England and says, Pastor, if we call you to come and minister in the church here in England, would you come this year itself? I said, the minute you put it together, I am coming, because I set my foot upon that land and I claimed the promise of God. Hallelujah. It comes as a seed. Do you hear that? The reason why some of you have walked in disillusionment and all that is because the vision is also given as a seed. He will give you a glimpse, a small peek, and suddenly you recognize, I am called. There's something that God wants me to do. It's bigger than me, and to be a part of his move. You see a peek, but that peek is enough. Hold on to it. Write it down. Look at it a couple of times. When you feel discouraged and hopeless and struggling, hallelujah, look at it again. Faith will come inside of you. Every word that proceedeth, you hear that? From the mouth of God. It's a seed. God, see, some of you need to realize, any message that you prepare, if you're going to ever serve the Lord, it doesn't come as a whole message altogether at one day when you're getting up and praying. Shikarundala Raja Divana Sanda Jara Adi. It doesn't happen that way. He gives you seeds. And every seed I write down. Here and there, here and there. That's why it is important that you write what God gives you. Hear that? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, the vision is important. He gives it to you as a seed. Now the courage, that's the part we are coming into. Open with me to 1 Samuel 17. Look at your neighbor and say, keep the seed. Value it. Hallelujah. Reverence it. Hallelujah. Love it. Hallelujah. Don't let anybody steal the seed. Do you hear that? Don't make anybody laugh at you because you only have a seed. Can you imagine the frustration when you would tell people without ever having preached, once I am called, I'll go to the nations and preach. And then later on I recognize I need to keep silent and just value the seed. People will laugh at you. Have you looked at your seed when amidst the struggle that you're going through? Have you looked at the seed or the weakness that you go through? If you look at the weakness more than the seed, I can tell you, you'll say, in Matthew 13, it speaks about many things that try to take away the seed, the anxieties of life, the cares of this world, the pressures of this world, all that will try to choke in the seed. You know, I was, you know, the other day praying, and you know, I, when we stepped out for the Lord and God gave me a seed, He didn't give me the whole picture, He gave me a seed, and the Lord said, son, those of you, you know, whenever we used to go and preach, people used to be saved and you used to get back and go back home rejoicing in the Lord. After a couple of months, you go back and they are not in the Lord anymore. They have forgotten the entire thing and you have to start with them from again, from ABCD, and you preach to them. At that point, that was about 6-7 years back, God said, son, make sure the people who are saved are rooted. Build them up. Continuously teach them. Put together my people. Continuously teach them. I will bring in people who are without direction and who need to take a look at the bigger picture than themselves. Give them direction. Preach unto them. Teach them. So I began to do that. And then we went through that huge crisis when we took our baptism for the Lord, because the word of God says it. You know? And suddenly the whole world was coming again saying, now where will each one of them find a partner in life? Some of them were going through business struggles because their business, I mean, they were put out of their businesses. Because the business partners were raw, strong religious people who had nothing to do with the word of God. And so there were two options. We could just blow up the seed. Forget the whole thing. Go back home and sleep. Or as a leader, I could ask them to value the seed. Hold on. Stand in the front. And give them direction and say, listen, your seed will come to fruition no matter what the enemy tries to do, whether it comes with persecution. Hold on to the word of God and stand on course, because the Lord will deliver and bring through the wholeness of God into your lives. I choose to do that part. And suddenly the people are asking, what about marriages of congregation members? Of different people. And suddenly I found just not people outside. Among believers who were coming here, people who were carnal and who never had the seed, they began to get panicky and they began to ask, the whole thing comes against you. Boom. And I was asking the Lord, what about it? And the Lord said to me, son, he gave me a seed. He told me, this is for my testimony. The Lord said, this is for my glory. The Lord said, this is for my purpose. Without a struggle, without people asking that questions to the minds of believers, how will they see the glory of God? Ask them to hold on to the seed, and the Lord told me, not a single one of them will lack a marriage partner, and that to the best one in their lives. Not a single one in this congregation. Not a single one. I won't have to bury a single lady here. Or a man. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I was asking the Lord, people are putting persecution saying they won't be buried, they won't be married. You think it is good for me? It's easy for me to stand in there and say, okay, we're going to see those people get married. You're going to see them getting engaged. And, you know, to do all that. I'm not trained for that. I haven't gone to a Bible college. I haven't even witnessed my own brother's marriage because I was standing outside the church. And here is God calling me and saying, son, officiate in marriages and do it. And, you know, people would get mad and we would have to write letters. And to some other church member, from if the other person is from other church, and you need to write a pastoral letter. We have never written one. We don't know what it is. We write up by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And you know what? Most of those pastors who received a letter from this church are using that as the format for their churches. Why do you think the enemy is after this ministry? You got the seed of God's word inside of you. Don't let the devil deceive you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, you know why the people say that we are receiving crows from outside and all that? Because the devil knows the place that God is going to give us here is going to be the richest place. And he does not want the glory to come to the Lord. ഉടനെ മനുഷ്യരുടെ മൈൻഡിങ് ബ്ലൈൻഡ് ചെയ്താക്കുക. പിന്നെ ആരും വിശ്വസിക്കണമല്ലോ കർത്താവ് കൊടുത്താന്ന്. പീപ്പിൾ ആർ പുട്ടിൻ ദ സാക്രിഫൈസ് ആൻഡ് ദ ലവ്. നോബഡി ഹാസ് ടു തിങ്ക് ഓഫ് ഇറ്റ്. ദെ കാൻ സേ ഓക്കേ ഇത് പുറത്തുനിന്ന് വന്നാണ് ഇവർക്ക്. വി നോ വി ഹാവ് വാല്യൂഡ് ദ സീഡ്. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord, that our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth might pass away, but my word, said the Lord, shall never pass away. Hold on to the seed. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of the Lord. Let's look to 1 Samuel 17 now. The courage. Now we know the story here. Is this teaching helping you? Is this? You like us teaching on Friday, wouldn't you? Instead of me coming and preaching like an evangelistic message every Friday. We'll do that on Sunday. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of the Lord. That's what I also like. Jumping in there in the anointing and throwing in the word and hitting the devil right on his nose. But this is like the silent killer. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the 1 Samuel 17. We know the story where the children of Israel are facing the Philistine army and Goliath is coming for 40 days in the valley of Elah and challenging the people of God. We know that. Amen. Now there is somebody in that camp who just was there on a visit that day. His name was David. And so Moses' son will be called David. Moji, are you here? So God blessed him with a son. How many of you are happy for that? That is church growth. Hallelujah. Some of you older people need to take an example from them. You know, the younger congregation are more keeping the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, here it is. There is a man there by the name of David, a man after God's own heart, who has received a word from God through the prophet Samuel. Amen. And the prophet has spoken a word over David and spoken of him as being the king when he's just a shepherd. That's the seed. Amen. And he receives an anointing from God, and he is going that day there on a visit to see his brothers. And we know the story where the Goliath, like usual, comes there and challenges. And look at this word, the 11th verse. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Say afraid. Afraid. Now look at the 24th verse. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, that is Goliath, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. But David, amen, he didn't want to go out there on Saul's armor. He went out there his own way with the word of the Lord in his mouth. Amen. And he went, let me say this to you. This man, the rest of the people had fear, and what he had was courage. He had courage in the seed that God had spoken over him. The situation was the same. The circumstance was the same. If you have drug addicts in your family, the situation is the same for a believer and unbeliever. Temptations, whatever. But this man David looked at the seed. He saw the vision of God. He saw God. He saw it as being a God's army. And he's going out there. Let me say this to you. Courage does not make him careless. He'll just carelessly go down there. He was careful to pick up the stones, the weapons that he had used, that he was comfortable with, and the staff and the sling. Amen. Now, just stay there. Because let me say this to you. For you to keep the vision and the seed and to face whatever battle that comes in front of you, whatever kind of struggles, you need to understand something. See, when I spoke of courage and being careful and fear, courage and that word carefulness is always in your mind. Where fear is in your emotions. So you will know for sure tonight whether you are walking under fear or you have courage on the word and on the seed of God's word, by the fact that if you're always troubled by fear, it's looking at your situation, looking at the enemy, looking at the obstacles, looking at all that same church, all people of Israel, everything happening there, the same God, the same worship, the same priest, the same prophets. But these people had fear when David had courage and he was careful. Fear is always in the emotions. And fear is always fueled by your imagination. Where courage is always fueled by information from the word. You hear that? When you're challenged, information from the word will make you to be careful, and you know what to do, what not to do, and how to do it. The other one will be fueled by your imagination. You'll think the worst about your life. See that? When fear comes in, worst about your life, worst about your family, worst about your future. Naari paranju, evadanu vannu. Fear will always cause you to avoid risk. Where courage will make you to calculate the risk. You won't be careless, but you will have a calculated move. Courage is not blind. Do you hear that? Hear me well, please. Courage comes with carefulness. That's what David had. Mother will avoid every risk. Have you seen that people who are hurt once in a relationship? They'll say, ini aaru vedu samsarikkunna parivadi illa mone prarthanakku vanna ini njan anga vanna anga poi. They avoid every risk. What happens? They don't grow. That's all. The world will be the way it is. But for your growth, you need to understand. No, you're fueled by fear and by your imagination, not by faith. Avoids risk, and fear will make you to avoid failure. Fear. Have you seen that? Some of you have been praying only to avoid failure. When courage and carefulness will want you to achieve success. The difference is like, one will want you to achieve success, the other will be thinking about how to avoid failure. എങ്ങനെ ഇന്നത്തെ പുറത്തു വരാം? ഇതെങ്ങനെ മാറും? മറ്റത്, ഹൗ ക്യാൻ ഐ മൂവ് ഫോർവേഡ്? വൺ ഇസ് പോസിറ്റീവ്, വൺ ഇസ് നെഗറ്റീവ്. You hear that? Carefulness and courage will be concerned about progress, where fear will be concerned about protection. And that is why some of you are complacent. Some of you do not want to go forward. God wants to take us into the next line. You are not concerned about progress, about the building that is coming up and the work of God there and the new people that are coming up. You're not concerned about that kind of progress. You just want protection. പണ്ട് ഞങ്ങളുടെ ചെറിയ ഗ്രൂപ്പ് ആയിരുന്നപ്പോൾ എല്ലാവർക്കും അങ്ങോട്ടും ഇങ്ങോട്ടും അറിയായിരുന്നു. നിങ്ങൾ പ്രാർത്ഥന കഴിഞ്ഞിട്ട് കാപ്പ് കുടിക്കാൻ പോകുമായിരുന്നു, തിന്നാൻ പോകുമായിരുന്നു, അത് കഴിഞ്ഞ് അവിടെ ചൊറിയുമായിരുന്നു, ഇവിടെ ഇങ്ങോട്ട് ചൊറിയുമായിരുന്നു. നമുക്കൊരാവശ്യം വരുമ്പോൾ അവരുണ്ട്, അവർക്കൊരാവശ്യം വരുമ്പോൾ നമ്മളുണ്ട്. ഇപ്പം വലിയ ഗ്രൂപ്പായി, വലിയ ആളായി, ഭക്ഷണം കിട്ടുന്നില്ല, നാട്ടുകാരെയും കിട്ടുന്നില്ല, പ്രാർത്ഥനക്കാരെയും കിട്ടുന്നില്ല, ഒരിടത്തും എവിടെ പോകും, എന്താ? You know what? You are under fear. You are not having courage or carefulness. We can stay up the small group like we want to be. I had to break them out of it to think of 20 people. 20 people, I had to break them out of it to think of 60 people. 60. Now we have reached here, Sunday congregation that is coming up, we don't know some of them, people who are coming in there, a lot of people. But we are concerned about progress. You want to touch those nations, we want to touch. We are not concerned about protection. ഇപ്പോൾ ഉള്ളൊരു ചെറിയ കൂട്ടായ്മ ഉണ്ട്, അഞ്ചു പേർ അങ്ങോട്ടും ഇങ്ങോട്ടും അറിയും, ഇതെല്ലാം കൂടെ വിട്ടു പോവാൻ ഫിയറാ. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Come on, church. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Five things I said about courage and five things about fear. One, courage will be in your mind. That will be fueled by information. That will take calculated risk. That's the third thing. And will want to achieve success. And will be concerned about progress. While fear will be in the emotion, it will be fueled by imagination, will want you to avoid every risk. Some people don't move into their calling. എന്താണെന്ന് അറിയാമോ? ഇനിയും വീണാലോ? അബദ്ധം കാണിച്ചാലോ? ഒരു റിസ്ക് എടുക്കണ്ട, ചുമ്മാ വന്ന് പ്രാർത്ഥന കൂടി അങ്ങ് പോയി. They will avoid risk, will want to avoid failure, and will only be concerned about protection, their own rights. But what I'm trying to paint is the bigger picture. Are you with me? How many of you understanding what I'm trying to paint? The bigger picture. It is His kingdom, His purpose. See, when David stepped in there, there's something that amazing about David. When David stepped in there, when you look at 1 Samuel 17, you will find nearly five times the people of Israel say, we, and including David's brothers, say, we are servants of Saul. Well, David was truly submitted to Saul, but he saw things in the right perspective. He said, this is the army of the living God. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you are learning something tonight? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I see, are we coming to what we need to hear? Are we falling into place now? We need to have, you know, if you're going to keep the seed and see the glimpse of the vision and move forward, we got to have courage. And courage in three areas. One, courage to say no. Two, courage to face reality. And three, courage to dream and look forward. It takes courage. It takes courage to say no. In other words, to correct a wrong. It takes courage. You messed up in your life, it takes courage to put it right. It takes courage to say no. How many of you love to see that courage rising up inside of you? Two, it takes courage to face reality. And I'll explain that. See, most of us, when we come into the Lord, we are living in an unrealistic world. Most people think that faith is very unrealistic. It is very practical. It is very simple. And it is, you need to understand that when you say you are a man of faith, you need to touch reality too. And for you to touch reality, there are seven things that are mentioned concerning any situation that you face. One is, thou shalt not pretend. The seven commandments. The seven commandments of facing reality. Thou shalt not pretend. Thou shalt not exaggerate. Thou shalt not shoot the bearer of bad news. Thou shalt not shoot the bearer of bad news. What it means is a simple thing, you know. See, let me explain this. I am a man of faith, because God has given me that. But at the same time, I go through encourage with clear information from the Word and by the Rhema Word of God, and very practically. And that is why we have an administrative team where they tell me the positives and the negatives, or the, you know, what happens this, what happens that, what about our burial spots, all that. We look at it very purely. We look at it very intellectually. We face reality. And then we are overcomers over every obstacle in the name of Jesus. It's not we say, oh, there's a problem. 1.5 crores. Just for the place. We face it. We deal with it. And if somebody is going to say something, how is it? I don't shoot them down. Be silent. Faith, God will provide. Hallelujah. You face it, whatever you're facing in your life. Are you with me? Thou shalt not hide. Have you seen that? See, people with courage, they'll hide. Every problem that they have, they'll just hide by themselves somewhere in a corner. Just be by themselves. And that is the next commandment. Thou shalt not isolate thyself. Holy commandment 6. Thou shalt not isolate thyself. Have you seen that? വിചാരിച്ചുള്ളൊന്നും കാര്യം പോകുന്നില്ല, സീഡ് എന്ന ഫ്രൂട്ടാവുമെന്ന് അറിഞ്ഞുകൂടാ, പ്രാർത്ഥിച്ചിട്ടും ആൻസർ കിട്ടിയില്ല, പിന്നെയും സ്ട്രഗിളും ബന്ധനമൊക്കെ തോന്നുന്നു, പിന്നെയും ടെംപ്റ്റേഷനൊക്കെ പഴയ പോലെ വരുന്നു, ഒരു 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 സാങ്ക്ടിഫൈങ് പവർ ഒന്നും തോന്നുന്നില്ല. എല്ലാവർക്കും അനുഗ്രഹം കിട്ടി, എല്ലാവരുടെയും കല്യാണം നടന്നു പോയി, എനിക്ക് മാത്രമൊന്നും നടക്കത്തില്ല. Thou shall not hide thyself. Hallelujah. Thou shall not isolate thyself. And thou shall not ignore rebuke or correction. Whatever you're facing in life, the courage for us to think, then only your faith will mature. Are you with me? Then only the seed will multiply and grow. And the third thing, and I stop with that, is the courage to dream. Some of you have quit dreaming. Some of you have quit dreaming and, you know, but you need to dream again. Forget the past, look forward and dream again. Hallelujah. And write down your dreams again. The seed that came upon Joseph as a dream, it was a seed. He went through the pit, he went through the prison, but his dream was fulfilled. He went through trials and temptations and all that, but his dream was fulfilled. He didn't let go of that vision. He didn't let go of that dream. He didn't let go of that seed. Tonight, how many of you have been blessed? Hallelujah. Let's stand up in the presence of the Lord. Before we stand up, let's just close our eyes and gather the seed inside of our hearts. And we keep it with the help of the Holy Spirit. We keep the vision, the seed, everything with the help of the Holy Spirit. Lift your hand and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And pray in the Holy Spirit if you can. Rikara suntumen kelemen korodo de sikia. Ribana kilko sikutulanti rigatagachara santal de reminisia. Glory to your name, Father. We worship you. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. We magnify your name. Take your eyes off yourself and look to the bigger picture. See to the work of God. Look into the kingdom of God. Look into the face of Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit of God remind you of every prophecy and every word that is spoken over your lives. Rivalana Sandakala Durajala Matakajarandala Milkara Skuratal Padurandiri Katakajala Satacharadana. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. In the Raptrim, hallelujah. Nasraina Yeshu in the Namutilangla Diaram to Praptikin. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to watch it in the seed. Hallelujah. Whatever way the enemy has tried to steal it away from your people, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against the works of the enemy, against every blinding spirit. In the name of Jesus, we command that to be bound in the name of the Lord. And we loose the people into the blessing of God now. Let their eyes open. Let their spiritual eyes open. Let their minds be loosed and freed by the blood of Jesus now. Glory, 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 glory. Vivalana Ruka Santurantean, Arabana Sundri Raganagadanasia. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We worship you, we worship you, we worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, church, let us all stand up in the presence of the Lord today. Hallelujah. Remember, we are a church. Look at your neighbor. Hallelujah. Hold the hand of the person standing next to you. Hallelujah. Pray with that person for a minute, please. Hallelujah.